Imagine you could provide decentralization to a blockchain by running a node on your mobile phone. And no, you don't need a computer science degree or some super phone. Quite the opposite. Anyone could participate, and it's as effortless as using WhatsApp. This is exactly what Minima has built. A new layer one blockchain, which has already achieved the largest network of complete nodes ever assembled. Users or validators simply download the Minima app on their phone and become part of building the most decentralized chain in existence. In today's episode, we're joined by Minima co-founders Hugo and Patty, where we discuss Minima's unique approach to solving the blockchain trilemma in comparison with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. We also talk about how you can participate and use your phone to secure the Minima network. We talk about how Minima is moving from a financial incentive model to a utility incentive model. And we also talk about a few dApps within the DePIN space that are currently building on Minima, one which is aiming to bring more mobile connectivity across Africa, and the other which is giving incentive to private residents to enable electric vehicles to charge their car from their charger. GMGM, welcome to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. We make sense of an on-chain world in constant transformation. I'm Jay Bird, and I believe that on-chain users, just like yourself, are going to change the world. That's why I'm carving a path for doers to confidently build and invest in Web3. GM, Patty, Hugo, welcome to Web3 Academy.
Thanks for having us.
See you.
Yes, so great to have both of you. Really excited about this conversation. The concept of running a node and verifying the blockchain on your phone is something that I had thought about but had never seen anyone doing. So super stoked to get you guys on the show today. Let's start, before we jump into the how and the what here, let's start with the blockchain trilemma. The blockchain trilemma obviously presents the trade-off between, you know, three critical aspects of running a blockchain: scalability, security, and decentralization, and the ability to, can you achieve all three of those? And so far, we've seen many of the leading projects struggle with that trade-off. Patty, don't know if you want to take this first, or Hugo, if you want to take this first, but yep, give us your rundown on the blockchain trilemma. And
well, Jay, I'm going to have to start by saying that I think most people have got this wrong, because it's not a trilemma. In my opinion, and if you understand blockchains, it's actually a bilemma or a dilemma. And so what they say is that you need scalability, you need security, and you need decentralization. And the thing is that decentralization and security are the same thing. There is no secure blockchain that is not decentralized. And so I think this is the thing that has sort of got the blockchain community slightly in a tiz. Yeah, I mean, Vitalik, great guy, you know, can't diss him, very smart chap. But it's not a trilemma. When you realize what a blockchain is for, yeah, when you understand that actually the blockchain is only there for one reason, and it only does one thing, and it's not smart contracts, and it's not transactions per second, you know, it's not convenience. All of these things I have already. You know, my contactless Visa card is pretty convenient. It can do loads of transactions. That's not what I use my blockchain for. The only reason I use my blockchain is because it's meant to be censorship resistant. And so when you talk about the security of a blockchain, what you are referring to is its ability to resist censorship attacks. And the only known way, there's no other way of doing this. This is the thing that Satoshi did. This is the thing that Bitcoin introduced us to. The only way of achieving censorship resistance is through decentralization. And there's a very simple way of explaining this, because centralized systems are so easy to attack. And if it were possible to come up with a censorship resistant system that was centralized, we'd have done it by now. But we just can't do it. So actually, when you're looking at these three variables that you want, actually what you want is you want to talk about scalability and decentralization. And these two things are at different ends of the spectrum. Because if you want to be decentralized, then you can't scale. This is another thing that people don't understand. This is why you get Solana saying, look, it's fine, we're just going to ramp up the transactions per second. It's like, yeah, but you sacrificed decentralization to achieve your scalability. So what you need to do is you need to realize that actually the scalability isn't something you do on layer one. Yeah, you can have scalable, you can have millions of transactions per second. And we have that system today already in action. It's called the Lightning Network. I know the Lightning Network gets a lot of gets a lot of grief, and a lot of people think that it's non-functioning everything, but it is the only layer two that actually works. It is the only layer two that is permissions, that is open, that is unilaterally, I can leave and you can leave without any permission. This is what a layer two should be. Lightning Network is instant and it's cheap. I mean, it's free and it's instant and it can handle any amount of transactions because only the people involved in the transaction have to be processing that transaction. So when you're on layer one, everybody processes everything. Fine. That's how you get your base layer security. Everybody processes everything, but that means it can't scale. And then you go to layer two and it's like, well, actually only me and you are going to, Lightning Network is basically swapping contracts with each other. And that's where you get your scalability. So actually, as far as the trilemma goes, it's actually only the scalability and the decentralization. And, that's why the product that we work on the Minima chain, focuses on decentralization. That's the number one thing. That's the only thing you need to worry about. And then we're going to be adding our scalability via, we've got really, really nice Lightning Network compatibility. When you're able to look back and, cherry pick all the really nice ideas that have happened in the last 10 years, there's lots of things that Lightning could do with, OPCAT is the current one that everyone loves. But there's a few other functions that you could do. L2, the way that you can do something technical to do with signatures that would make Lightning 50 times easier. And the thing is that when you make something easier, it means there's more developers that can work on it, which means that you get more products coming out of it, which means that you get more, investment and time and all of these things. So that's how we've attacked the problem. It's got to be decentralized and you can have your scalability, but not on layer one, on layer two. And so that's what I think about the trilemma.
The obvious example that you brought up is Solana right now, which has achieved incredible scalability. Their transactions per second are, very high. Their cost is low.
Yep.
But at the trade-off of decentralization, because it is quite centralized. And they've said that, and they know they're open about the fact that it is quite centralized right now. And this is, I think, why this trilemma has always been so present in blockchain, is people had to choose which one they wanted to go after initially with the view that we'll solve the other one in the long term. But what you guys are saying is you were able to build Minima from the start by solving for both. That's not the case in some of the leading chains we have today.
Again, I'm going to have to say that Minima stands on the shoulders of giants, and so actually if you get to look at all the stuff and you get to say, well, that's very nice and this is nice and this is something. When you think about decentralization, what you have to ask yourself is, okay, I need a system where everybody runs everything all the time. There's this duality in blockchains at the moment. In every single blockchain is the same, except Minima, where you've got the people that run the network and then you've got the people that use the network. Yeah, there's this sort of this combat thing. You've got the miners, the stakers, the validators, whatever you want to call it, and then you've got the people that use it. That's no good. Yeah, what you want to do is way back when we were using Bitcoin in 2011, we were all running it on our PCs with Dashgen. That was the goal. That was the peak. That was like, wow, everybody's running everything. Everybody's mining. Everybody's doing it. And then SegWit comes along and everybody realizes that actually we don't matter anymore because the miners are the one who get to build the chain. And there's nothing I can do to affect that because they're getting paid so much money and they've got so many computers that there's nothing I can do. And so you have to, from the beginning, come up with a system that is never going to split into this runners and users. That's really the shift that Minima made. And if I can get technical for just very slightly technical for a second, it's not a question of, you actually have to come up with a different way for the blockchain to run. And so when you look at all the other blockchains that are out there, they all operate on what is known, game theoretically, as a competitive system. You've got the miners fighting each other in a win-lose game. Yeah, I can find the block and so you don't get it. I win, you lose. We are wonderful competitors. Yeah, humans are great at this. And the thing about a competition is there's always a winner. That's what happens in competitions. There's always a winner. And when somebody wins the game of mining, which somebody will win, mining is incredible. It's a fantastically futuristic technology and it's all these numbers and all this stuff and everything's going on. But it's still an industry. Yeah, it's still a business. We've seen this 10 million times already. Every single time we get businesses competing for each other, it always, always ends the same way in a monopoly. Because one of them becomes better, yeah? If I'm making money, I'll just become bigger, economies of scale kick in, I can now buy hardware cheaper, I can outbid you, blah, 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 I'll just buy you, et cetera, et cetera. And in every single other mining industry, gold, silver, oil, everything, there's three players. there's always three players at the top who, you know, basically just allow each other to survive. Otherwise, they know they're going to get regulated. And when that happens, which is happening in front of our eyes in every other chain, when that happens, your blockchain is dead, because it means you've lost the decentralization. You've lost the ability for censorship resistance. It's going to be very interesting seeing this ETH ETF, yeah, when you get all the money in Coinbase and Coinbase just says, you know, OFAC compliant, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So you cannot allow that to happen. You cannot have this competition between the people who are trying to build the chain. And so what Minima does, which is really the fundamental difference between what we do and what the other chains do, is that we operate in a cooperative game. This is known as a win-win scenario. So what is good for me is good for you. So what we've basically done is we don't pay you to mine. What we've basically done is we've said, look, instead of having 10 really big miners doing lots and lots of work, grinding away, trying to find these blocks, why don't we have 10 million, yeah, 100 million little phones, each doing a tiny bit of work, an insignificant amount of work, frankly. But when you multiply 10 million by an insignificant number, it's the same as 10 times a really big number. Mm-hmm. So that's how we roll. Yeah, we're a cooperative network where everybody joins in together. What is known as a positively interdependent way. Yeah, we're all working together to build the chain. And that's why no one is ever incentivized to mine. No one is ever incentivized, other than the utility of the chain. You're not paid. That's the difference. That's the thing that converts us from business into a cooperative. And that's really the shift that has occurred when you're running on Minima.
You recently made a big shift here when you turned off all your centralized servers. Every blockchain has to start centralized in some way. There's just no way to, you know, there's the cold start problem. You can't instantly have a million different phones running your chain. So you started centralized, and that's fine. Every chain does that. But you turned those off recently, and you've moved fully over to your user nodes. Tell us a little bit about this decision.
The bootstrap period, everybody has to go through the bootstrap period. And that's fine. As you're setting up your network, you know, when your users start, there's a party. Where's the party? And you stand there and you go, well, actually, the party's over there. Yeah, we were telling where the other nodes were. Yeah. But that's bad, because it means that if we were taken away, new people couldn't come to the party. So what we've done is we've said, well, now, actually, you know, there's a Minima party happening right now. You know, hundreds of thousands of users mucking about on their phones doing all this stuff. And when you turn your Minima phone on, when you turn the application on your phone, it doesn't have any IPs in the application. This is pretty cool. And what it does is it says, hey, man, if you want to get to the party, you need to know one person. And once you're at the party, you all swap details and everything, and you get a big list of different, you know, IPs, the servers and everything. But to get to the party, you need to know one person. And what was interesting was that this was quite a scary concept for a lot of people. And they were like, you can't do it, Pat. We can't turn these servers off, because otherwise people are not going to know what to do. And actually what happened was, which is what Minima has shown us again and again, is when you actually give people just a small amount of responsibility, when you actually think they can do this, we can do this. You don't need to have your hand held. You don't need anyone to look after you. Yeah. So you need no one person on the network, just one. And then when you're at the party, everything's totally fine. And so we called it Decentra Day, and we turned off our servers, and we added all the code in so that when you start the app, you know, we tried to make the UX and UE as simple as possible. And it says, hey, man, give me one person at the party, and then you can join the network, and then you're free and away. And they had it. They did it easily, and now they love it. And it's like, actually, they can do it. You know, we didn't need to worry. It's like, it actually worked really well. So yeah, that was Decentra Day. So we don't run any infra. You know, we obviously, you know, write the client. Microsoft still spends $100 million a year writing the email client. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the email protocol, the one that you do for email, the POP3, the IMAP, that hasn't changed for 4 years. So we write the client that interfaces with the Minima protocol, and people use that. But we don't actually run the network in any way. We have zero control over the network. Yeah. If we disappeared tomorrow, if the government shut us down, nothing would happen. Yeah. The network would still operate totally fine. And that's the goal. That's what you want. That's decentralized.
And sir, when was Decentral Day, and how many user nodes are there operating now?
So we had, Decentral Day was in, I think, mid-December. During our test net, which was in 21-22, we had 250,000 nodes running across 187 countries that we'd incentivized to run the node. We were just paying them one Minima a day to actually run in the background. The reason we did that was really just to sort of, A, to build up the network. So this is a proof-of-work network, but also just to show how accessible it was, because a lot of people said to us, look, there's no way everyone's going to be able to run a node, because, you know, all other chains, it's, you have to have a huge computer, you have to have a degree in science, computer science. Whereas, you know, this is the next step. So basically we got to, let's say, 250,000 running across 187 countries. And now with the network running, we have sort of between 50 and 100,000 running the network at the moment. And obviously we're now looking to sort of grow that out and work with a number of partners to increase that exposure. But yeah, that's where we are. So we're, you know, orders of magnitude more decentralized than any other chain at the moment.
Yeah, I've got a quote here from you, Hugo, that I want to read that I came across in my research. And you said, "We already have the largest network of complete nodes ever assembled. Running a full node on Minima is as effortless as running a messaging app on your mobile. Using Minima, developers can build decentralized apps on a mobile with an addressable market of 2.5 billion users and no middlemen, miners, stakers, or block producers." Shout out. This is incredible what you built. Let's just talk for a second, though. Like, I think it's so unbelievable, almost. I think any of our listeners might be like, well, but why aren't other chains doing this? Why is this, how is it all of a sudden possible to run a full node on a mobile phone that's as easy as running a messaging app? As you said, Hugo, to most of us, you know, we say, oh, let's go proof of stake. Let's provide some security to the node. Let's be a node runner. And then you look up what it requires to do that. You need the amount of hardware. You need a computer science degree. Like, most people are like, oh, I can't, which led to, you know, all of these other platforms that will do it for you. Yeah. Again, without getting so technical, I don't want to get.
I can let Paddy go a bit technical on it, but I think just to sort of.
I'm just going
to,
Hugo's the non, sorry, Hugo's the non-techie.
I'm the non-techie. So it's good to get on his.
Yeah, I'm the techie.
I think as much as anything else, it was really two things that came together. Firstly, Bitcoin was, you know, came into being sort of 2008, basically. But at that time, the iPhone had literally just arrived. So it wasn't ever thought of the fact that actually an iPhone could ever, or any phone could, or smartphone could be used to do that kind of computation. So that was the first thing, that the technology wasn't there yet. And the second thing, obviously, and as Paddy said, building on the shoulders of giants, you know, lots of learnings have been made in blockchain over the last decade. And so if you bring together the sort of the advancements in technology and shrinking everything down, plus also understanding how blockchains work and where the benefits of a blockchain can be used and where things, certain things can be stripped back, you know, the size of the ledger is, you know, the key to a blockchain. However, you're not going to put gigabytes of data on a phone. You're not going to put terabytes of data if you're talking like Ethereum onto a phone. So actually, how do you actually strip that back down? So I guess what Paddy's done is looked at ways to actually create a very lean and compact blockchain that works with a phone. I mean, we could spend another hour going into the details and how that is. Effectively, you can go to our website and look up our docs, minima.global. You go to our docs and it explains it all there, basically. That's how we've done it. We look to sort of take best bits of blockchain and sort of cram it all into a device that everybody has. Because if you want it to be truly decentralized, it needs to be something that is accessible to everybody. And I think, you know, not only do we run on phones, but we also run on Raspberry Pis. And the end game is to run on chip. So effectively, this is not just about mobile phones. This is about all connected devices that are effectively just running Minima in the background, creating that sort of value transfer layer for secure sort of value transfer interactions and communication layer.
Because if I could just quickly, for instance, the ledger thing, yeah, everyone's like, how are you going to squeeze a blockchain database onto a phone? Yeah, very normal question. We all know blockchain databases are big. Yeah, I need 500 gigabytes for Bitcoin. I need 10 terabytes for Ethereum. I need this. This isn't going to work. All right, well, what if we flip this? Yeah, and what if in our cooperative model, we say, well, look, I don't actually need to look after Hugo's coins, and he doesn't need to look after my coins. What I need to do is I need to look after my coins and Hugo can look after his coins. And then when he wants to send a transaction, yeah, we have what's known as a Merkle tree. It's a mathematical thing. And when I send a transaction, I can actually add a mathematical proof to the validity and existence of my coins. And just that simple concept, which was actually, you know, Peter Todd came up with that on Bitcoin Talk, just the most wonderful forum ever for any of us who were on there. And it's called a proof database. And so what that means is that we actually now use a database on Minima where everybody looks after their own coins. Yeah, so I look after my coins. You would look after yours, Jay. And then when you send a transaction, you give a proof. It's a mathematical proof. It's called a Merkle branch, which shows that. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, okay, that coin does actually exist. And what's really nice about this is that it's a lossless system. So we have as much data as a normal database. But instead of every, so normally when you send a transaction on Bitcoin, all the miners have got a really big book and they look in the book and they go, does Paddy have those? Yes, he's got those coins. Okay, this transaction is valid. But if I added the proof myself of the existence of those coins to the transaction, they don't need the big book. And they can go, oh, look, this mass thing, yeah, that works. Okay, fine, that must be a valid transaction. And so just in that simple way, we've managed to squeeze a virtually limitless size of a database. Yeah, because these things grow logarithmically, so they grow fast at the beginning and then slow. And then they never get any bigger. And everybody can now look after their own coins, and that squeezes down onto your phone. And so that's like, okay, that's one of the things we've managed to do. There's other things, obviously, that you have to do. You have to think, well, you know, as Hugo was saying, when Bitcoin came out, phones just weren't as powerful. Now my phone is more powerful than my laptop was 3 years ago. I've literally got, you know, a computer, you know, a proper computer in my pocket, which can do anything. You know, frankly, your phone is, I mean, soon we won't have laptops. You know, you'll just be logging into screens onto your phone. That's the sort of power we're talking about. And so then it sort of makes sense. And you think, well, yeah, obviously I can do, you know, a few, because that's not the bottleneck. Yeah, when you're thinking about blockchains, that all those big computers, this is the other interesting thing, that when you see massive racks of servers and everything and all of this stuff, that's not the processing of the transactions. That's the mining. That's the work that they're doing. That's all of that stuff. Yeah, and it's like, we've got rid of that as well, because we don't have massive server farms. Yeah, everybody does a tiny little bit of work. Yeah, whenever you set up, we call it transactional power, TX power. And whenever you want to do a transaction, whether on-chain or off-chain, whether on layer one, layer two, you have to do a little bit of work. Otherwise, the message isn't forwarded across the network. And this is why you have to do the little bit of work to utilize the network. And when we use other clever maths and we stick all of those little pieces of work together, and that adds up to a really rather nice big piece of work. So suddenly it's like, right, you don't need the big computers. We don't need the big, you know, the big hardware, you know, database. And so all of these things add up, and suddenly you've got a blockchain running on a phone, which is very nice.
It is very nice. I agree. So we've got this chain. Anyone in your community can run a full node on their mobile device, enabling them to participate. They can verify the chain very easily. Why would they do this? This kind of goes back to your cooperative comment before, Paddy. What's the reason or the incentive for somebody to run one of these nodes on their phone?
Because they know that no one can ever stop them using it. Because they know that there's nobody else that they're having to trust. They know that this is a purely trustless, decentralized system. So actually, when two people are transacting on Minima, they know there's nothing that can get in the way. They know that there's no part of the network that can be attacked. They know that, you know, when these miners become bigger, the attack that they always do, which I think is unfair, yeah, which I think is the wrong way to look at this, they always say, well, look, if you wanted to overrun Bitcoin, you'd have to buy this much hardware, you know, to do the same hash rate. That's not the attack. You think the government are going to go and buy the hardware? Of course, they're not going to do that. They're going to go to the big miners. They're going to put an arrest warrant in front of them and say, you're all going to jail unless you do exactly what I say. That's the attack, the state-level attack. They're not going to buy anything. They're going to co-opt all of these mining hardware, and then that's the attack. And on Minima, that's not possible, because you'd have to co-opt the whole planet. Yeah, you'd have to co-opt every single phone and every single user. Yeah, there's no way you could get that much, you know, hash power just by going to the users, because none of the users have that much hash. So that's really the big difference here. So when you're using Minima, you know you're free. You know this is never going to become an issue. And if I can just for a second explain one of the really nice things that always seems to get overlooked about Minima. So Minima is hard capped. Minima is hard capped, power backed. And why does this matter? Bitcoin, 21 million. That is the greatest meme in crypto. Everyone loves 21 million. I love 21. Everyone loves 21 million. It's like, that's the amount of money. I know how many Bitcoins I've got. I know how much of a percentage of the total this is. That's incredible. There's a problem with that though. Because then if you only have a hard cap, we have this whole dilemma about who's going to pay the miners. How am I going to pay for the security? When you're running your network in a competitive way, when you've got other people running the network, you have to pay them. And your security is directly proportional to the amount you pay these people. And if you don't pay them anything, then the security isn't there. So your network is totally insecure. Now, the Ethereum boys come along. And they understand this. And they're like, this hard cap thing, you know, I know it's really nice, but it sort of gives us this thing about fees. Yeah, there's always this issue with Bitcoin where it's like fees are going to have to be astronomic on layer one, which means that no one's going to be able to use it. Mm-hmm. And so they say, well, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to print money. Yeah, we're going to have an inflationary currency. I don't want to go into the mess of EIP 1559, which is this thing where they burn coins for this and that. It's an awful system. Yeah, but they print money and they give that money to the miners. So then they're like, okay, we don't have to worry about the fees because we know that we're always going to have the money to pay them. But then you lose the 21 million. Then you lose the hard cap. And there doesn't seem to be a way of reconciling these two positions. On Minima, we have a hard cap. And on Minima, we don't pay anyone to send the transactions. We do have a burn. Yeah. So when you send a transaction, you burn a little bit of Minima. And this is important because it allows you to order the transactions in the mempool and you put the ones. So you can think of a burn as a fee that you pay the whole network. When I burn Minima, what it means is the total supply goes down. So actually, Minima is harder than Bitcoin because it always shrinks the amount.
Deflationary. Yeah.
Yeah, it's deflationary and it's a hard cap. And what that means is that whenever the security of Minima is only dependent on the number of users. It's not dependent on the fee structure. There are no fees paid to anybody. And so we have a system which doesn't have the issue that either of these two chains has, and it manages to keep the hard cap and it's power backed. So that's really nice. Yeah. It's like, you know.
I was going to add, Jay, that, you know, the reason why you use your right Minima is not because you get paid to do it, unlike all other chains where effectively you're either a miner or a stake, you get paid to do it. And obviously, that is a great incentive to begin with, but obviously that does lead towards centralization, either with mining or with staking. And then that will, in the long term, create issues because it becomes politicized effectively on a, what should be a inert base layer. So what we have is that the incentive to run a node is not going to get paid for it. It's rather the utility that it provides. Currently, the utility is complete self-sovereignty. So you have a wallet that cannot be stopped or attacked by anybody. No miners or stakers or anything like that can take that away from. We also obviously have peer-to-peer communications network that sits over the top of our layer one. But moving forwards, it's going to be the use cases that you'll be having, you know, be running in the back of your on your mobile, and that will be giving you access control. It'll be giving you the ability to mint tokens, to transfer value peer-to-peer within whichever network you're playing in, basically. So effectively, we see it almost as Minima will run like Intel Inside, effectively be something everyone knows about, but actually, you know, just assumes that it's there, and then all of the use cases on top sit on that, basically, and they'll be facilitated by Minima running on the device.
Because just to say, one of the beautiful things about everybody running everything is that this makes your layer two much better. So the current problem with Lightning, which is fine, the thing is that Lightning is a protocol. It's not specific to Bitcoin. Anybody who, you know, runs a UTXO system, yep, has a few cool functions, you can all do it. And what's really nice is that to run a Lightning node, to be self-custodial, to be a proper Lightning node, you need to run a full node. Yeah, because otherwise you need a watchtower to tell you when somebody does a transaction, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it only really works layer two when you run a full node. Since everybody on Minima runs a full node, everybody on Minima can run a proper self-custodial layer two Lightning node. Yeah. Now this is 50,000. We already have, you know, 100,000 people running these things now. And so we could actually generate a proper Lightning network where everybody can see what's happening and everybody can do everything. And these are the sort of derivative things that pop out once you say, no, everybody runs everything. It's all amazing. And it's like, this is incredible. But if you, I mean, the question that you need to ask me, Jay, is what do we sacrifice? Yeah. Mm. I mean, I'm here to be honest with you. You know what I mean? I'm not here to just, you know, when you look at Minima and you see, what have you had to give up to achieve Minima?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is that Minima needs users. In a cooperative, clearly, mm-hmm, the more people using it, the more secure, the better. You know, we can't have a network of 15 people. Yeah, Solana, frankly, doesn't matter how many users. They've got their stakers, they've got their 100 computers that are doing whatever it is they're doing. You know, that's literally like one day for the New York, you know, police to shut down. But let's not go there. Yeah, but it's like, what did Minima have to do? Minima has had to say, well, look, we need a lot of users. You know, we need 10 million, we need 100 million users for the network to actually, you know, grow to capacity to become truly self-sufficient so that nobody could attack it. I mean, at the end of the day, what Minima asks of you is 1%. I want 1% of your RAM. I want 1% of your processing power. I want 1% of your hard drive. I want 1%. It's nothing, frankly. Yeah, you still get 99%. But on your phone, I want 1% of your RAM. I want 1% of your processor. I want 1% of your hard drive. If you give me that, everybody runs that. There's no way anybody could attack that. That's an enormous number. Yeah, we're talking a chip in the toaster so that you give the toaster for free and it pays for the electricity it's using to make the toast there and then over a Lightning connection. This is the sort of future we're trying to get to here. And so when you start thinking, well, look, if we could just put the planet's electrical grid, we could put the little Minima chip in each of them. There's no stopping that. And we never have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about fees. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. We can just get on with it. Basically, you'll only ever be using layer one to jump onto layer two. And then everything is instant and free anyway. That's the goal.
And when you say users, do you mean users running nodes, do you mean users also using the chain and transacting on the chain using whatever apps or whatever's available to use on the chain, minting NFTs, blah, blah, blah? Like, do you mean both of those things, or do you more mean just the running the node part?
This is a blockchain. You know, blockchains can do cool things. You know, we've got NFTs and somebody's just done their first auction of some token, Nomos or whatever it is. And, you know, they use it in the same way that all the other blockchains do their thing. And you can do all of these things. And this is the great thing. I mean, I'm not here to disparage. And, you know, I love all the other chains. I love them as test beds, what they're doing. And, you know, but what Ethereum does, it's like, it's incredible to see all of that stuff. And you've got to pick, and that shows us what we want. I mean, look at what we've achieved in 10 years. We've literally created an economic system that works faster and better than the current system in 10 years. As soon as you took the shackles off and you said, go, lads, run. Ladies and gentlemen, have fun with it and look what we've achieved. And so all the beautiful, funny things and fun things that you can do on the chains, you can do on Minima. You know, so that's what they do it for. They love making their token and, you know, sending it to their friends with a stupid picture of somebody going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know.
And not to get into overpriced JPEGs and monkey JPEGs and all that. Yeah. That's a blip in the grand scheme of history. Nobody will really remember that, I don't think, as a use case for NFTs. But it was the first one, and it caught a lot of hype. But it sort of, it paints an important picture that I think is important to this conversation, which is that a lot of the growth of Web3 and blockchain has been the result of financial gain, and a lot of people taking an opportunity to gain financially. And I find very interesting.
Minima,
what you're talking about is it's not about financial gain, which I understand removes the competitive side of this, which ensures that it stays decentralized long term. But how did you get, this is Mike, how did you get 100,000 users that you have right now? I mean, you got 250,000 for your testnet. I know on mainnet now you have 50 to 100,000. How did you get those if you're not incentivizing them with money?
So we did incentivize them to begin with. So this was our bootstrap period. So we did absolutely do that because, like you said, it's the cold start problem. You know, you've got to start somewhere. We did absolutely incentivize people. But in order to get to that point where you don't centralize any further, then you have to take that element out. So then you have to swap from incentivization to utility being a reason to use it. So, you know, if, you know, we want people, and again, if you want to get mass adoption won't come from speculation, because a lot of people don't have that in their sort of makeup or mindset to be speculators. They just want to get on with their life and make it easier. So, you know, if we take a real world example, we're working with the automotive industry, because if you can fit a Minima node onto a mobile, it also means you can fit it onto, and we've done this, you fit it onto the head unit of a vehicle, which allows the vehicle to then have value transfer between permissionlessly between other vehicles on the road. It allows you to pay for things and like parking and stuff like that. So, you know, we see a future where you'll be running a node, not because you feel you want to add to a decentralized network, it's because you want to get access control to your vehicle. And when you're driving along, you then want to go and be able to charge it up somewhere as well, basically. And so that node-to-node communication between your vehicle, between your mobile, and between the wall charger, for example, and an electric vehicle, will be enabled by that. So people won't be running a node because they have a philosophical bent towards it, or they want to create a decentralized network.
Which would be nice. Money could use. Which would, you know, that
would be nice. We want to give people the ability to run a completely resilient network. But the only reason they'll do it is because it's really just useful. That makes sense. That's the critical point.
I've got to say that the phrase that springs to mind is that this is like what Satoshi has started here is the greatest revolution in history. And what's so great about it is that it's dressed up as a get rich quick scheme. And so there's nothing, you know, it's absolutely fine. Number go up. This is what gets people excited. They want to make money. I understand. This is value. This is what you want. You want to make money, and that's fine. But as Hugsy is saying, you start like that, you get the users. And then what happens is people start using it for their own things, tickets, you know, NFTs, like he says, access control. I can give you an NFT to get into the back of the car, open the boot, you know, paying for my vault. Minima should be transparent. You shouldn't even know you're running a Minima node. It's going to be so, hopefully, so ubiquitous. It's going to be on everybody's phones, on everybody's device. You know, you don't need to
be running it. So will the user then, when you made this switch from the financial incentive to the utility incentive, which makes total sense long term. The challenge right now is that most people on chain are financially incentives. That's, you know, we're in the degen period. We're in that early period, right? We haven't yet gotten to the utility period. We're getting there. And the car automotive example is a great example, but we're just not fully there yet. And a big reason is the tech is super complex and most users can't even understand like a wallet and how do I set that up? And then I got to bridge tokens over and use those to blah, 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 gas fees, yada, yada. So will the user experience be that most people onboard from the utility? So I'll onboard through an app where I have certain utility and a reason to use that app. And then at the same time, I will be directed to somehow set my phone up to validate Minima network.
So yeah, absolutely. So I mean, we do still have an element of incentive and reward for the early adopters. So effectively, for the it's 2025, we have a sort of regular payment going to the adopters who started on. So in order to create a sort of critical mass of nodes on the network, but the new users to Minima will be onboarded via new projects that are building on Minima or are working with Minima, and they will be doing it because it actually gives them a use case that is useful to them. They could either be earning it, you know, I mean, we can get into this, you know, within DeepIn and stuff like that, or within some enterprise initiatives that we've started building out. And so effectively, this is many ways, because we are device agnostic, you know, mobile native, it means that existing Web3 companies can actually integrate us into their existing systems by bring on board the blockchain functionality. And so that's the way that we're looking at this, to help either to enable new Web3 companies to build their project on a decentralized, fully decentralized network, or Web2 companies to effectively upgrade themselves to functionality of a blockchain network and by embedding Minima onto their device, their existing devices.
So I'll give you an example that might, you know, Minima, because you're all running a full node. Yeah, we run this thing called Maxima. Yeah, Maxima is a layer that we run on top of Minima. And what Maxima does is information. It allows me to send a message to somebody. And what's cool about that is that it is an incentive-compatible information transfer layer. And what I mean by that is that whenever I send a message over Maxima, I have to do a little bit of work. Yeah, I have to do a little bit of mining. So I say, look, I'll forward your message to the person that's trying to get it, but you've got to secure the network. Now, interestingly, you're not actually securing my coins. You're securing your coins. But because we're both on the same chain, what is good for you is good for me. This is where the corporation comes in. Okay. So it's like, you need to do a little bit of work and you can send a message. Minima operates this dApp ecosystem called mini dApps. So one of the most beautiful things that's come out of this whole crypto thing is MetaMask. Yeah. Not the way MetaMask is run. MetaMask is completely centralized. And if they shut down Infura, the whole Ethereum ecosystem would be broken. That's fine. That's okay. What's nice about it, though, is that they said, you know what, why don't we come up with a system which allows you to integrate blockchains into a website? Now, that's what MetaMask does. It's like it's a plugin and I do it and now I can do a website and I can do complicated blockchain stuff. And it was a great idea because it suddenly meant that hundreds of millions of people had access to this stuff. It meant that millions of web developers could suddenly start becoming smart contract developers and look at all the beautiful stuff that's come out of that. So Minima has taken that idea and we use a mini dApp system. But instead of having a website that integrates with a plugin, we actually create applications that you zip up and send to people. This way, again, it's more decentralized because you can't take it down. Once I've given you the application, it runs, you're basically the Infura. Your phone is the one that does all the RPC calls. Okay, so you can write an application, you can zip it up, and you can send it to somebody. Now, you put these two things together, what do you get? So I can write an application, and I've got value, add information transfer. Yeah, and the information transfer layer, which is the maximum bit, only works because everybody's running a full node and only works because I do work to send the messages, which means I'm happy to forward your message. I want you to send messages. Because every time you send me a message, I know you've done more work to secure your coins, more work to secure my coins, more secure network, more valuable network. So then I think of my mother. I think of my wife, totally tech illiterate. Yeah. They don't know anything about blockchains. They don't know anything about that. We have an application called Max Solo. And basically that's WhatsApp. And what that means is that we've written a mini dApp that uses the Maxima network to send messages. But it looks like WhatsApp. I mean, WhatsApp Web. I love WhatsApp Web. Yeah. Great little application. You know what I mean? It's perfect. Very simple application, really. The only thing about WhatsApp is that you have to go through these massive servers that they're running. Well, what if you could decentralize that? What if you could come up with a chat application, which was secure, encrypted, signed, no centralization, totally peer-to-peer. And then you say to your wife, I'm on Mac Solo. If you get onto Mac Solo, we can chat. She's like, cool. She downloads the app and she's using that. She's also downloaded Minimum and she's also securing the network, but she doesn't know that. She doesn't need to know that. As Hugsy is saying, the goal here is for people to not even know that they're running Minimum, but to be utilizing the things that Minimum lets you do. And then they'll be running a node without even knowing that they're running it because it doesn't take up any of their processing or any of their hardware. They don't know, but they get to use all the wonderful things. You know, you can send money. Yeah, we've got WhatsApp and I can send you money. And it's like, all right, why wouldn't I use that? And nobody's reading my messages. Nobody can stop me sending the messages, which is where all of these apps go. Yeah, they're all reading our messages. They're all, you know, doing everything. So these are the things that people will hopefully start to get into, which they are getting into.
I was going to sort of talk about Deepin, really. You know, obviously, Deepin.
You're stealing my question, Hugo. I'm the interviewer, not Sorry. You. Come on. I'm kidding. I was going to go there. So you go there too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's a big topic at the moment, you know, decentralized physical infrastructure networks that are using token incentives to motivate individuals to share their resources. And this, again, this has only been made achievable because of the sort of tokenization to enable incentives. And I guess because Minimum is sort of unique in being sort of, you know, everyone can run a full constructing and validating node on their device, it really creates a whole new sort of area of opportunity for autonomous networks, edge sovereignty, and, you know, trustless machine-to-machine interactions. And I guess the way that we look at it is like really sort of three key things that we are able to deliver as a sort of base layer for sort of the Deepin sort of area. That makes sense. I mean, so on the first level, you know, we can generate tokens on any device itself, basically, and directly on a specific device or cluster of devices. And then you sort of add to that, you know, sort of the low latency node-to-node communications that are GDPR compliant. Because as Taddy said, you know, everyone keeps their own data. I only keep my data, and you keep your data. And this is a big thing for, you know, enterprise clients who are looking to, you know, a public blockchain goes against sort of the premise of GDPR. So effectively, everyone keeps their own data, which is a very important thing. So you've got the token generation on device, you've got sort of node-to-node communications, and then you have effectively access control and data attestation for trustless machine networks. Effectively, you know, you can timestamp data on the device. There's nowhere else you need to go, effectively. And so these are sort of powerful functions that effectively means that Deepin projects can build on that. And, you know, we actually announced sort of this week our first sort of major partnership with a Deepin project called Ycrypt. Ycrypt effectively are sort of the Helium for Africa in terms of creating sort of your network and Wi-Fi network powered by the users, sort of enabling them to earn while sharing their Wi-Fi. And so they're going really well at the moment, and great founder Hugo, not just around Hugo, but great guy. And so basically what we're now doing is we're now embedding Minimum nodes onto their routers, which will enable them to us to grant network access to the Minimum users themselves. And obviously, by running Minimum nodes on Wi-Fi routers, each router then becomes an active node on the network, so further decentralizing the network, but also making it more secure and resilient. And it also allows sort of Ycrypt routers to actually participate within the Minimum network as well. And so, you know, it's a benefit from both sides. And so from Minimum perspective, you know, we can get access to the data network provided by Ycrypt. And the community members can buy and host Ycrypt hotspots. But also for Ycrypt users, you know, they gain enhanced privacy and secure peer-to-peer messaging between their devices as well. So effectively, it's a virtuous circle to sort of bring on board these kind of projects. And so that's an area that we're going to be making a lot more announcements about in the future. Equally, I think, you know, we've been on a sort of an accelerator within the automotive vertical, Mobility X Labs, which is sort of the likes of Volvo and Polestar and Lincoln Co. And in many ways, it's sort of like something I like to call sort of, you know, enterprise Deepin, where effectively we've sort of been enabling an infrastructure to be built for enterprise clients as well. So, you know, if you take EV charging at the moment, you know, the biggest issue for the automotive manufacturers is that, you know, they want to bring on board all of these new electric vehicles, but the actual public infrastructure for charging isn't there yet. There's lots of range anxiety for people buying a car, an EV car, an electric car. Okay, well, I can never charge it up, basically, because you don't look at a petrol station and you see like two charges and then like 100 cars going through just while you're there, and you go, how's that going to work, basically? So there's a lot of anxiety for people. So we've been working with automotive and manufacturers to effectively turn private wall boxes into and public charging spots for certainly increasing the public charging infrastructure. And so by embedding a minimum node onto these private wall boxes, they can then effectively charge them out to anyone else who wants to come and book a slot. And we would then issue them with a token that gives them time of charge and amount of charge that then can be issued by the box themselves. So effectively, we're incentivizing new wall box owners to buy a wall box, and if they buy it with their cars, and effectively they can earn revenue from renting out their wall box. So effectively, you know, we're not just doing it purely for bottom up, we're also doing top down to enable larger organizations to benefit from this sort of increased infrastructure connectivity, if that makes sense. So yeah, we definitely think that having a node embedded on devices at the edge will be a sort of a huge move forward for everybody.
If I could just mention one thing, sorry, just to say, when you look at all the other blockchains, every single one, the larger they get, the more centralized they get. This is so when, as more people use the network, the value of the token goes up. That means that more miners, more stakers want to get involved because they're making more money. And so then you get that horrible vicious cycle where it's like, there's less and less people running the network. Minim is the opposite. Minim is a proper decentralized network. The larger the Minim network gets, the more decentralized it gets. Because when we say we're putting a node on this device or a node on that device, we're not saying it's a light client. We're not saying it's a wallet. We're saying it's an actual full node, mining, checking all the transactions, doing everything. Everybody does everything. And so having edge nodes increase in size, having more and more little devices doing stuff really helps the Minima network. Yeah. The more nodes we have, the more decentralized we are. Yeah, it's not the opposite. It's not the way all the other networks are going, where the larger they get, the more centralized they get. You know, we see that objectively. When you look at all the other chains, that's what's happening. And that's fine. You know, it makes sense. You understand why. But since this thing about the competitive cooperative, the larger the minimum gets, the more decentralized it gets. And then it's, the better it gets. So it's like, that's a virtuous circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, as you said, over time will make a lot of sense, particularly for deep end projects, make a ton of sense for this. Because as more people want to be participating in decentralized infrastructure, which I think is a trend that is just, we're just in the first chapter. We're so, so early that there will be a lot of people that will also, oh, wow, I can also run my own node along with this and take the incentives for running this deep in and also have full self-custody because I'm running the node. Like, there's so much crossover here that makes so much sense. I want to get your guys' sort of view for what's ahead for the next year or whatever time frame you plan for. You're thinking about the roadmap from Minima. What's 2024 or beyond look like for you guys?
I'll start, you carry on, Paddy, in a second. So I think on a number of levels, I think in terms of sort of project adoption and stuff like that, I think Deepin is huge and is only going to be growing just because people's understanding of it, but also the accessibility of it as well. And Minima being device agnostic means that you won't always have to buy specific hardware for that. You can actually just add it to the hardware that you currently have through literally an app download, or, you know, it'll be a factory led. From a sort of project perspective, we are obviously a unique chain. So we aren't a sort of a fork of another chain or an ERC20 coin as a native coin. We do have sort of wrapped Minima on exchanges at the moment, but we're also looking to integrate native Minima onto exchanges this year as well. So that'll be sort of back end of this year. So that'll basically just get sort of, you know, more people able to sort of find out about Minima and sort of get involved with Minima and stuff like that, basically. So that's going to be a big part of it. But really, the big push from my perspective is pushing deep in projects to come build on Minima, but also work with enterprise clients to start embedding Minima onto their within their current existing infrastructures to bring on board all the sort of blockchain functionality, really. Paddy, what's your view?
Yep. So that Hugo does all the sort of, you know, business stuff and all the projects, and that's wonderful. I'm the techie. So for me, testnet is no good. Yeah. It only works when it's out in the wild. It's only working, you know, I can only do the dev stuff when people are actually doing it for real in the real world on real devices. So from a dev point of view, obviously optimizations, increasing functionality, faster processing, there's infinite amount of work there. I mean, one of the nice things about Minima is because we want to be decentralized, the Minima protocol is finished. So there is nothing to add. We're not waiting for an epoch. We don't have any hard forks. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is the protocol. This is what you've got to play with. Go and play with it. And so the protocol is set in stone. And that's really nice because it means that they're not waiting, you know, Ethereum, what are they going to do next? You know, what's the next hard fork? There's like 20 guys who decide what to do. You know, the power to pause thing killed it for me. Yeah, I'm a power man. I don't want pause. Pause is an equity. I want a commodity. I don't want, you know, equity is never going to be worth what a commodity is worth. Yeah, it's like, but people don't understand this. But they did this. Who are these people? Who are the guys who are deciding what's going into the next build? So if you want to be decentralized, your protocol needs to be finished. So Minima protocol is finished. But the implementation of the client of the protocol, that's a never-ending story. And, you know, that is what I work on. And actually, I suppose another thing that I would really like to do, better docs, you know, better introduction, better how to show people, how to write mini dApps, how to get more devs. You know, whenever I speak to these enterprise clients, they're like, right, we need to write this and this and this. And it's like, well, go on then. And they're like, they don't know what to do. And then we have to do it. It's like we have limited resources, obviously, so we can't, you know, we can't accommodate everybody. So what we really need to do is we need to have really good docs so that anybody can start doing this stuff and anybody can start writing whatever they want. So that's really the goal for me, to somehow make it easier to onboard developers. And they're the ones who are going to come up with the killer app. Yeah, it's not going to be us. We just do the tools. We do the tooling. We do the client. We want that to be as good as possible. But somebody out there is going to come up with the beautiful app that everybody's going to be loving. And that's what I need to, you know, that's what I need to help happen.
Yeah. So with that in mind, anything you want to ask from our listeners? How can our listeners get involved in Minima, whether it be as a user or whether it be as a dev?
So, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Please do get involved. I mean, you can already go down, if you've got an Android phone, then you can already download the Minima node from the App Store. So Minima Global is the name. And then if you want to learn more about Minima, minima.global is our website. And we've got all the docs there as well and tutorials. And then we also have a very vibrant Discord channel. I think we have over 85,000 members at the moment currently. And then we're sort of on Twitter at minima_global as well. So really all of the stuff to get involved is there, and sort of information about our grant programs and ways to get involved. But again, we're sort of onboarding now a number of exciting development projects. LTA in Spain set up last week as one example. And as I say, we mentioned that we sort of announced Ycrypt this week in terms of deepening projects and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, minima.global is the place to learn about us more.
And as for the devs out there, come and join us, because the thing is that many of us, it's unfortunate that Bitcoin doesn't have 5 or 6 more opcodes, is honestly my opinion of it. It's like, if it just had these 5 or 6 more things, you could do some really cool stuff on the Lightning Network. You could and we don't have that. And so people haven't managed to push that area. Yeah, the Lightning is where it's at. That is the protocol that is going to be the game changer, that is going to set up the whole world. Minima lets you do that. So if you come to Minima, we have a really nice scripting language, you know, as again, the benefit of hindsight, 2020. So we can go, oh, look, it would be really nice to have this and this. And we have OPCAT. Yeah, we can do all of these things and OPCTV and verify out and blah, blah, blah. And so it's a rich development environment. And if you come, you can write these mini dApps and you don't have to, you know, everybody that runs Minima runs the whole thing. You never have to worry about, oh, I'm just running a light client or this or that. And that's a great space to be working in. You know, that's nice to know that nobody can ever muck about with this, you know. And the larger we get, the better it gets. Rather than the larger it gets, we're just going to end up like every other chain, yeah, with 3 or 4 people, you know, running the whole thing. This is different. And so this would be a good place for you to hang out and come and join us. Lots of dev groups, you know, as he says, Discord is the place. I'll see you there. I'll talk to you in the groups.
We'll put all the links that you mentioned in the show notes, as well as a link to your Discord. Patty, I think I'm gonna have to get you back on the show at some point to have a decentralization debate, or more so a conversation about why people need to care about decentralization. I don't want to open that can of worms right now, but there is a constant theme in crypto and blockchain that we all just talk about decentralization, but I'm not sure that the masses actually care about it enough, and we need to get them to, and we need to for purposes.
You know what you care about, Jay? Do you know what everybody cares about, whether they like to admit it or not? Freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom. That's why we're here. That's the whole point.
They don't know that they don't have freedom right now. They can use.
They're starting to realize. I would agree with you. They are starting to realize.
I knew this would spark me. I'm not trying to
chip away. Oh no, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But it's funny because the word censorship wasn't even a word. Nobody even knew what it meant. You know, I think, you know, when people started to think about censorship, when they censored Trump on Twitter. That's the first time people were like, "What do you mean? You stopped the president saying something?" And it was like, "What is that?" It's like, that's called censorship. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to the people who run it, telling you what you can and can't say.
Which is why, ironically, if you look globally, a lot of the leading users on chain are not from the Western world, not from the developed countries, because like you said, we don't have these issues, right? We don't have censorship issues. We don't have banking issues. We don't have difficulty sending money. Like, sure, it costs too much and it's like a pain. Yeah, like little issues, right? But not big issues. But then you go to the developing world and it's like, wow, they face these issues every day, which is why there's been more uptake. Anyways, I don't want to go down that. Before we wrap here, I just want to ask you guys a couple fun questions. We do a little bit of speed round. I'm going to ask you two questions. You both can answer each. Your answers do not have to be related to crypto or blockchain. So it can be personal as well. One thing you've bought recently for under $100 that brings you joy?
RG35XX game console. Yeah, absolutely love it. You know, 5,000 games. I was a gamer. That's where I started. Did the industry, running games. Physics Engine is the greatest toy ever. At night, in bed, my wife going, I don't know. And I'm like, I've been really good. I got this level.
Paddy, you are the stereotypical dev.
That's it.
Techie. Yeah. You've got all the stereotypes.
Yeah. There you go. I can show you this. There you go. My new winter gloves for surfing. Because without these, then it's very cold. So I'm very excited about that. But,
because you're surfing in the winter, like you're in the water.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah. And actually, just. It's not too bad. It's about like sort of 9, 10 degrees, I guess.
We're all Wim Hof now, man. Everyone loves the cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Dementia.
That's the other thing I bought myself. I bought myself a shower timer so I can do my 2 minutes of cold shower at the end of my hot shower.
So, yeah, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. You're not the first or the only one to talk about cold therapy, that cold exposure can be everything. Okay, last question. If you had a billboard that 1 billion people were going to see, what would you write on it?
Freedom is worth fighting for.
Could have guessed here.
All done. Fight for it.
Yeah.
Check out Minima. Yeah.
Check out Minima.
Yeah. Okay. Marketing CEO and evangelist, crypto evangelist. I love it.
There you go.
I love it. Great team. Yeah. Great combo. Hugo, Paddy, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great chat to you, Jay.
Come on. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe or follow so that you don't miss the next one. While you're at it, there's a link in the description for our free newsletter where we provide timely and relevant Web3 insights so you can confidently build and invest in Web3. Make sure to subscribe today. One final note. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto and Web3 are risky, and you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and see you in the next one.